We're going to be finishing up the book of Philippians today, chapter 4. I just thought I'd give you a little overview, but before that, just a reminder, the New Testament is certainly what we're going to celebrate at the end of our service today. It's a new covenant that Christ has brought to his people. The Old Testament is primarily to his nation, his people, the Jews, and we have the whole history of what God was trying to do. In the center of that was always a picture of Christ. He's the atoning sacrifice, the Passover lamb. We get to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of Jesus and his life. Acts tells the history of the church and how it began. And we get to the epistles, the writers of Paul, Jude, John, James, Peter. And they give us instructions, clear and powerful instructions, how he wants the church to work, you and I. So what I thought I'd do today is kind of give you a picture, just as we finish up Philippians, what God's heart is for his church. And I'm going to do it in the first person. Paul wrote to Philippians, but Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the book of Philippians for you and I. So God is writing to the church here at Hope in Willow Grove. And in chapter 1, he starts off by saying this, to all the believers here at Hope, and to the elders, and all those who serve here, I want you to know this, my grace and peace is upon you. And not only that, I want you to rejoice over this, that I have begun a good work in my church, and I will see that it's built and will be completed. And at the end of history and time, every tongue, nation, and language will be represented in heaven. And we're part of that here at Hope. And God wants us to know this. This is chapter 1. If you and I live in Christ and allow Christ to live in and through us, we will be representators of the gospel. And when we do that, God will see to it that the gospel accomplishes his purpose. So then, Hope Community Church, let's allow God to rule our hearts and minds, that the Spirit of God would overflow in us every day so that we could be his ambassadors to the world. As Dom prayed, the world needs Jesus. He's the only answer. And we get to chapter 2. And Jesus is telling us through Paul, now that you believe in me, as Romans 5 says, you've been justified and now have peace with God. You have unity with me. You and I, because we've trusted in the work of Christ on the cross, are now joined to God. That was impossible beforehand. But now because of Christ and the message of the gospel and your faith in Christ, we have been brought near to him, in his presence, and we can have fellowship with him, God Almighty. And because we can have fellowship with him, we can have fellowship with each other. It's a glorious truth. And God wants us to understand this. So then, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but consider one another as more important than themselves. And we have that example. Take a look at Christ. He left the glories of heaven to become a man and encountered sin for us so that we could have a relationship with him and each other. That's glorious. I want to give you a little view of behind the scenes here. Hope Community Church, God wants us to consider each other Look around at each other. Go ahead, take a look. Look at who's next to you and who's behind you. God wants us to consider them as more important than you. Why? As Dom prayed, because John 17, the world will say, wow, where does that love come from? Only from above. And my buddy Bob, where's Bob? I was sitting in the back row. You're supposed to be over there, Bob. Oh, it's taken. Okay. We've been praying for Bob. We all know that Bob was in a tree and fell out and hurt his back pretty bad. Was in the hospital. So that we had the opportunity to consider Bob more important than us. And I want to tell you, meals went out to Bob, and Bob appreciated that. There was a family that visited him, a young family with all their kids. And he loved it. Because why? It was telling him, Bob, we care for you. Bob shared that with me. I never realized I was loved so much. Wow. Such a small thing we can do in the body of Christ. Bring meals and visit. And God ministered life to Bob. Powerful. We here at Hope are on a crossroad. I'm excited about tomorrow night. The search committee, and Dom shared this before, from 200 to 25 to 17 to 3, now 1, we're going to look at a guy. I'm going to get to see him for the first time and talk to him tomorrow night. I'm excited. God is doing something, and I want to be part of that. And you and I can do that because we're going to consider others as more important than ourselves because Christ lives in us. We get to chapter 3. He says some bold things there. Do not trust in yourself because you're not capable of living out this Christian life. As a matter of fact, Christ is telling us, I want you to consider me above everything. Even to the point, compared to me, everything else is rubbish. Wow. But God is letting us in on a secret that the Spirit has revealed to us. I can't live this Christian life on my own. I couldn't earn my salvation in eternity. That was a gift. And I can't live out the Christian life apart from Christ. So Christ is telling me, let me live in you. We need to learn that. We need to practice that. And last week, we were reminded, don't quit. This is a process. If you fail, what? Get up. If you fall, get up. Because the Holy Spirit provides forgiveness so that you can carry on again and press towards the mark. That mark is the kingdom of God. That mark is Christ-likeness. And now, because you and I are in Christ, the Holy Spirit empowers us to become more and more and more like Christ. You understand that? This life is powerful. So we get to chapter 4. I want to give you a little oversight of chapter 4, and then we're just going to read it. Chapter 4, in the midst of all this, it says, therefore, or finally, stand firm. All the principles that we learned. Don't be whiners. We learned that in chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. How many are guilty of that? Right on. Wow. Jesus really hits us between the eyes. We all complain and grumble, but we don't have to in Christ. And Paul's so excited about this Christian life that he finds out that there's these two women, they're not getting along. Now, it doesn't tell us what's going on there. And we shouldn't try to guess, because the Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe it is because they're whining and complaining. Women do that, don't they? Just as good as men. But you got these two women that aren't getting along. And Paul and Christ is saying that today. When we don't get along, do something about it. Go to them with gentleness. Love them. Tell them, stop it. It's not honoring to Christ. It doesn't build up the body. We here at Hope need to learn what God is asking us to be. Because if we all strive to be it, this place is going to be contagious. Now, as Dom said, even in announcements, I love you guys. I love this church because we have people here who want to serve Christ. But as we learned in chapter 1, but we need to do it more and more. Love needs to keep growing. We won't exhaust the love that God has for each and every one of us. So we keep going. He tells us to rejoice, to be gentle. The Lord is near. How many think the Lord's getting closer to coming? Hallelujah. I may not see it in my lifetime, but it is getting closer. And that's going to be marvelous. You know, I couldn't help but think in chapter 2 as I was going over this. Christ tells us, live for my purposes. It says it this way in chapter 2. It just eluded me. For me to live is Christ. That's what we're here for. And if we live for Christ, all that love stuff will be splashed all over. If I live for Christ, you'll sense it from me. You'll feel it. And if you do it, I'll feel it. It's going to be a marvelous place. But to die, we haven't seen what God has prepared in heaven for us, beyond our wildest dreams. That's our hope. That's our goal. That's what motivates us. We're living for the kingdom, and it's going to be for eternity. Then there's some real practical instructions here. Don't be anxious about nothing. Do you think that's possible? It's another one. How many here worry? All the time. Jesus is saying, you don't have to. If you grow in your understanding of who I am, the King of the universe, the one who spoke this universe into existence, is anything too hard for God? No. So we want to grow in our faith and believe this is who my Lord is. I don't have to worry. So I pray, Lord, help me to trust in you. Help me to walk in your ways. Help me to be a man of the word that I'm feeding my heart daily with the substance of life. That's what the word is. It's life. And Jesus is the living word. So don't be anxious about anything. Exercise the things that God tells us, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. How many want here peace in their soul? It's ours to have every day. But we have to practice. We have to grow. We have to believe. And if I fail, what do? Get up and get back in the game. It's a glorious game, and I don't want to dishonor God by calling it a game. It's a life. Then he tells me something that's very, very crucial here in the Philippians 4. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, if there be any things to think about, think on these things or meditate. Where do you think these things come from? All these attributes we're to think about. The scriptures. God, that fits. That's right. The scriptures. Are you meditating day and night on the scriptures? Are you feeding your mind and heart with it? If you're not feeding your mind and heart with it, then something else is feeding you. And you're going to worry. But when the words of Christ consume us, and we, by his power, live them out, no worries, man. God's got it all. And then I believe this is a process where he says, I've learned to be content. Wow. Is that possible? To be content? Yes. Am I uncontent at times? All the time. But I don't have to be. If I'm feasting, if I'm like Mary did at the feet of Jesus, recognizing this is the Savior, this is the Creator, this is the Almighty. Nothing is too hard for Him. Let me worship Him. Let me consume Him. Because then, if He's my goal, if He's my aim, if He's my life, contentment is mine to have. So when you don't feel contentment, when you feel whiny and complaining, when you feel anxious, what should you do? Prayer, did I hear prayer? Go to God. He's the answer for everything that's wrong with you and me. I'm right there with you. Learn to be content. Practice this out. It's possible. And then at the end of Philippians, he says these beautiful words. And I will provide everything you need according to my riches in glory. I gotta believe that. I don't always, but that's mine to have. I know that many of you have needs right now. We're praying for two families that need a place to live shortly. Can God provide them a place to live? You bet He can. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know how long He's going to take. But I believe when your foot hits the Red Sea, it opens up. God provides. My God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And a lead pastor is one of those needs. And we're believing that God's going to bring that perfect one. It may not be Brian. That we're going to see. We're asking God to lead us. But God will bring a godly man here who loves Him and will love you. And then what should we do? Love Him. That's how it works. We want to consider Him and His family more important than us. It's a great economy. If I only think of myself, how many people do I have thinking about Chick? One. If I don't think about Chick, but you guys all think about Chick, how many do I have people concerned for me? About 120. That's a good ratio. And I'll include my family in that. So, as we conclude with the book of Philippians, I just want to read it to you. And I want you to fill in all the blanks. And I want you to think about even the songs you sang today. I appreciate Andrew and the time he takes to pick out songs and all. There were so many songs that just really kept reminding us of God's goodness and what He wants for us as a church. This is Jesus' message to us today. Therefore, brothers and sisters at Hope Community Church, whom I love. You know we're loved by God. I love and long for you. Now, Paul's saying this to Philippians, but it's God's heart for His church. And my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord this way. You fall, get up. Hang tight, dear friends. I plead with Yoda, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's what we had back in chapter 2. Because of our union in Christ, we can have the same mind, the same goal. We're out to be about the kingdom of God and not ourselves. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. You see, they fell. And Paul's saying, get them up, help them. Along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, because we're in this together, whose names are in the book of life. Nothing more important than having your name in the book of life. How do you get your name in the book of life? You understand the gospel and you believe it. Jesus is the only way that takes us to the Father. Let that be exciting in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. So then, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let's not try to be harsh to each other. Instead of saying, stop it, say, I think you need to stop that. That's good for your soul. It's not good for the body of Christ. The Lord is near. He's coming any day now. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we just celebrated our annual Thanksgiving. Be grateful people, because everything we have is from above and it's perfect, says James. Present your request to God. Talk to Him. Share your heart with Him. He longs to hear His people speak to Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Understand this. That world out there can never experience the peace of God without Christ. So we don't have to be jealous what's out there. We need to pray for them and live the message of Christ so they will hear, every one of them. Finally, brothers and sisters, that's us. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and it's in the Word of God, think about such things. One of my life verses from Joshua 1:8, meditate day and night. I love this part. Being careful to follow everything that's written in it. That's where our success is. Following the Word of God. Do we want to be a successful church? Then we hold up God's Word, and by the power of the Spirit, we follow it. We allow love to just flow through this place. So keep meditating on it. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, because Paul's watching Christ. And he's mimicking Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, the God of peace, when we carry out the message of Philippians and the rest of the Word, peace will be part of who we are. Peace that's beyond understanding. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. And that's that whole time when he was in prison and Epaphroditus came, and now we're working it out and we have contact. Wow. Great, because I know you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, and in every situation, whether well, fed, or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. How do you learn this? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's my secret. It's Jesus in me. That's my hope. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. We need to be a giving church, and we are. We got a lot of things coming up. Generosity Sunday is going to be in June. That's when we take these collections. We want to send some of our young people out. We want to send people to Transnistria so that we can further the gospel and love people. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. We want to be a church that isn't afraid to give and give and give and meet needs for the body of Christ. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. So it's better to give than received, is what he's saying here. Yes, I get a blessing. My needs are being met by you. But you realize what's going on in your heart when you and I become givers for the body of Christ, for people in need? What a blessing. That's what we want to be. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And that's Bob's testimony. That's so many testimonies. When Jerry was down, people cared for her. We want to be a church that cares. God bless you. Keep doing it. These are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. We want to be a church that is about pleasing God, obeying His word. Lord, help us do that. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. How much riches does God have? You don't even know, and neither do I. It's beyond our comprehension of what God has. And He says, with all that, I'll meet your every need. I can't think of, you know, my heart is torn with Ben and Jamie getting ready to leave. Well, I've come to love these guys. But I know, and they don't know what's ahead of them, but I know my God knows what's ahead of them. So we want to pray for them. Just like we've lost quite a few in this last few months of people moving away. That's God's providence. We can trust in that. We don't have to get all worried. I will miss them. But I want to say, Lord, go use them for your glory wherever they go. Help them to find a church that understands what it looks like to live out the gospel. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. It's just not about hope. All the other churches around here, we want to be excited that they are preaching the gospel and living it out because God's kingdom is being furthered. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. That refers back to the soldiers that Paul was locked to in chapter 2. They got saved, and now they're part of the family of God because Paul was faithful to giving out the gospel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We will always have God's Spirit with us, which produces grace for us, which is efficient for everything we encounter. Amen? We're going to take communion. What a glorious thought. And Corinthians says it this way, every time we take communion, remember me. What are we to remember? That this was what accomplished our salvation. Brutally beaten, whipped, mocked, his body was torn apart for you and me. And he gave his precious blood as an atonement from the Old Testament that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is something for us just to remember, just to think about, just to thank him and praise him. After we get done here, we're going to end with a song. We want to praise him from the depths of our being. Thank you, God, for what you have provided, for what you want to accomplish for us here at Hope. As Ephesians says, as each one of us does our part, the church will be glorious without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Prepare your hearts. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to celebrate this act of love as you gave your body and shed your blood for us.